This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Africa Center.
25 minutes to 12. It is a Monday, and that can only mean one thing. We bring you Africa Center, where we go beyond the borders of South Africa and try to understand the world around us and how we feature in it. And this morning is probably how we don't feature in it. We are going to be focusing on the United Kingdom's decision to keep South Africa on red status despite government lobbying. And it has been quite a relentless lobby from the South African government, but it seems as if either they are getting a blue tick or they are getting an outright rejection. And the Department of International Relations and Cooperation quite at pains over the weekend to say they do not understand this decision. We saw some scientists also coming out to say this does not make for any rational decision. My guest is Deputy Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Alvin Botes, joining us on the line. And you can also join in on this conversation on 0861 987 000. Were you thinking of taking a trip to the United Kingdom, and how are you affected? Do tell us. Deputy Minister, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Munguni, and afternoon to the listeners of Power FM.
Deputy Minister, if you are in the afternoon, I suspect it might be a different time zone. I'll forgive you. You're an international man. So it's afternoon somewhere else in the world, they would say. Tell us, I mean, this really strains the relationship between the South African government and the United Kingdom. To your understanding, what have you been told is the reason to keep the South African South Africa is a country on the red list of countries from which citizens may not enter the UK, or else they will have to be, you know, in under some very serious quarantine processes.
Yes, no, thank you very much, Mr. Nkuni. Let's first, as the, you know, South African government confirms that the UK remains a strategic bilateral partner of South Africa, and I think more than often we find common ground through our mutual membership at the multilateral level, the Commonwealth and the G20, et cetera. So I think it pains us that this strategic bilateral relationship are obviously being impeached upon in relation to the decision of the UK not to remove South Africa from the red list. I think you'll appreciate, Lukanyo, that being on the red list imposes obligation that even if you are vaccinated in South Africa, even if you have a PCR test not less than 48 hours, when you go to enter the UK, you are obligated to undergo a 10-day compulsory quarantine period, you know, more or less at the cost of 42,000 rand. And I think what we are saying in South Africa, this is what we call vaccine inequality. Our vaccines that we are rolling out in South Africa, J&J, Pfizer, even AstraZeneca, that has been tested and underpinned by the World Health Organization, shows that South Africa have demonstrated real capability to fight the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, it impedes significantly on our trade issues. We have thousands of students that are studying in the UK. And remember, we have quite a significant diaspora footprint in the UK. What we are doing, Mr. Munguni, at a bilateral level, you know, a couple of weeks back, the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Dr. Pandu, had engagements with the then UK Secretary of State in relation to this matter. As recent as 2 weeks back, she have engaged the UK Secretary of State when we were in a joint meeting of the Commonwealth membership. And I think I'm fortunate to report to South Africans that during this period, this week, she is in New York at the margins of UNGA, the United Nations General Assembly, where part of the issues on the margins that she will raise with the UK is this decision to continue to keep us on the red list. So what we are doing, both at bilateral and multilateral level, is as a government to be seized with this matter. In a week's time, next week, Monday, I've been mandated to meet the Minister for Africa of the UK, the UK Secretary, Undersecretary of State, James Dudridge, on the 27th year in Pretoria, to substantively take him into confidence on our scientific approach that we have taken as a South African government.
Now, Deputy Minister, let's probably just try break it down in simple terms. For us as lay people, myself, Lukona, I'm interested to travel to the UK in the next few months, maybe. Being on the red list, what does it mean in practical terms?
Look, firstly, it means you will have to put aside almost 40,000 rand of money, because when you do your vaccination in South Africa, you get your PCR test, but you still are obligated to undergo a compulsory 10-day quarantine facility at a hotel that has been directed to do so by the UK government, but at the cost of yourself as a traveler. Mm. So even if you have received the once-off J&J vaccine, they do not accept that, they don't underpin that, and that is what we are raising to them. So that is the consequence to the South African traveler. And I think you would imagine, Mr. Mungoni, it obviously dilute, you know, our post-COVID-19 economic recovery attitude as a South African government.
As the South African government, in your deliberations with the government of the United Kingdom, I mean, at a diplomatic level, it seems as if you are still trying to gain the confidence of the UK government. But what have you put on the table as, you know, counter action from the South African government side if the United Kingdom's government does not relent on this position?
Look, let me just state, we don't engage in a diplomatic relations at the reciprocal level. So, for example,
you don't fight fire with fire.
Yes, yes, we don't do that. I think we are quite measured. We use our diplomatic negotiation skills in the best interest of our people. What we managed to dissect, Mr. Mungoni, is that there is a consequence, it seems, from the Secretary of State of the UK, that there has been, at a particular time, a beta variant that also has been in South Africa. But of course, what we are saying to them, it's 98% of your COVID-19 infections is as a result of your Delta variant. They have raised the concern around this beta variant because in the UK, most of the population has been subjected to your AstraZeneca vaccine. And they have related that they could be concerned that the AstraZeneca vaccine is not optimal necessarily, according to them, in relation to confront the variant strains from the beta variant. We have agreed that, look, let's use the National Institute of Communicable Diseases, your NICD, that informs government scientific orientation in relation to this fight against COVID-19 pandemic. So I think there is forward movement. We are raising it with them this week in New York at the United Nations General Assembly. Next week at the bilateral level on Monday, the Minister of Africa will be here. We are going to engage him at the bilateral level to say, look, this is the status as it relates to the COVID-19. This is the architecture in terms of the South African people's fight against this COVID-19 pandemic. We have what we call non-state actors, Mr. Mungoni, such as South African, your tourism services industry, your business leaders,
business leadership South Africa,
yes,
who have petitioned the Prime Minister as well to try open up. But Deputy Minister, I wonder how much this reflects the vaccination of vaccines geopolitics at play. Seems as if when we decided to do away as South Africa with the 1 million doses of AstraZeneca earlier in the year. This did not sit well with others who, you know, are champions. You would know, of course, that the AstraZeneca partly developed with the university, with the Oxford University in Britain. Yeah. And the Britain government might have taken a dim view at South Africa's quote-unquote undermining, irrespective of your reasons, which I quite agreed with as a person, but quote-unquote undermining their own vaccine. Do you think that there might be vaccine geopolitics at play here?
No, of course. You know, we have raised the issues of vaccine nationalism and vaccine inequity. And I think this is exactly the same thing. Look, at the universal level, the pen holder, as it relates to the fight against the COVID-19, is your World Health Organization. The World Health Organization, Mr. Munguni, has underpinned the credibility of South Africa's COVID-19 pandemic program. That is what they have said. They have said this country and Africa seem to be most seized at the professional, at the scientific level to confront the COVID-19 pandemic. And subsequent to that, you have countries like France, Ireland, Germany, Seychelles, where South Africa has been on the red list. But because of a consistent progress that the leadership under President Ramaphosa have proven itself as it relates to COVID-19 pandemic, scientific programmatic steps that we have actually rolled out, we have been removed from a remarkable number of international countries that used to keep us on a red list. And we are saying that, look, we have a common history with the UK. We are in the Commonwealth. We are in the G20. Our multilateral relations internationally must mean actually something for the South African government. So we are seized with this matter, and we are not confrontational, but we are going to ensure that we heighten our diplomatic overtures in relation to this matter.
Are you worried, Deputy Minister, that this may be a disincentive for people to take up vaccines? You did talk about the students phenomenon. I know there's a high volume of students that travel between the UK and South Africa, given the various scholarships, particularly as part of the Commonwealth and beyond that, and other, you know, motivations for people to go and study abroad. But I mean, if somebody is listening into this conversation and like, what's the use of vaccinating if I still can't travel?
Yes, look, I think what we are preparing for the immediate future. That is our message from Department of International Relations and Cooperation. We are preparing for a future that is more predictable, Mr. Mugone. More predictable means that there should be a universal acceptance about the credibility of the South African government's COVID-19 program. And that's why we appreciate the centrality of both the state and non-state actors. There's a multiplicity of voices speaking on behalf of South Africa's interests with one singular message, that we have an unequal vocal qualitative COVID-19 pandemic. I think your Power FM, I've listened to your stats earlier on, you are 100% correct. As we are speaking here, 15.6 million vaccines has been actually administer. You know, we are speaking about an entirety of 28% of population. We are standing at level 2 in relation to the regulations issued by President Ramaphosa. As we are speaking, we're not speaking about 10,000 new cases of infections. We are speaking about 4,200. So qualitatively, at the scientific level, we have met the minimum threshold. In fact, I can argue, Mr. Munguni, that we have exceeded the minimum threshold. We are asking one of our strategic bilateral partners in the form of the UK to follow the footsteps of countries of the EU, such as Germany, such as France, Ireland, you know, that have actually dissected our COVID-19 program. And that gave us the green light. And that's why we have been removed from the red list. And I think that is our diplomatic message that we are giving today. But we are seized with the matter, and we are confident that the UK will actually respond positively.
Deputy Minister, please stay on the line for me. I want to pay some bills. My guest is the Deputy Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Alvin Botes. They're talking all things about the decision by the United Kingdom to keep South Africa on the red list. And they removed from that red list the likes of Turkey, Pakistan, the Maldives, Egypt, Sri Lanka, Oman, Bangladesh and Kenya. Given that South Africa is the most vaccinated, is amongst the most vaccinated countries in Africa, I wonder how the South African government feels about the removal of Kenya and the maintenance of South Africa. We'll continue with this conversation after paying bills, but if you do have a question or comment for the Deputy Minister, please do dial in on 0861-987-000 this morning.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mbini. Call Lukhona on 0861-987-000.
Indeed, or tweet me at Lukhona Mbini, hashtag Power Talk. My guest, Deputy Minister at the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, Alvin Botes. They're talking to us about the decision of the United Kingdom to sustain South Africa in the red list. Deputy Minister, I mean, you spoke quite glowingly at the start of this interview about, you know, the strong ties between, you know, South Africa and the United Kingdom. Nobody can doubt those diplomatic ties and friendly foreign policy towards each other as the two countries. But surely, surely, this is a low moment for those relations.
Yes, Mr. Nguni. Look, I would not necessarily say low, but I think we are concerned that the posture as it relates to South Africa has not taken into consideration the scientific information that have validated our COVID-19 response. We appreciate that in December 2020, when the UK started to impose travel restrictions on South Africa, that we were amidst a fueling of this COVID-19 pandemic. But where we are speaking now, given the substantive rollout and the accessibility of vaccines in South Africa, in fact, our president have confirmed, Mr. Nguni, that we have sufficient adequate vaccines to actually vaccinate the entire of the South African population. So there's absolutely no disclaimer as it relates to the repository and the instruments at the disposal of the South African government to actually ensure that the COVID-19 pandemic, the upward trends, we have seen it. It has first stabilized, it's actually downwards as we are speaking. And I'm confirming this because if you look at, our infection rate in South Africa, there's a number of EU countries, for example, that is on the amber list of the UK that surpass our infection rate and that does not have the scientific instruments at their disposal to equate and match that of the South African government. So we will continue to work with business leadership South Africa, with the South African tourism industry, to ensure that multiplicity of opinion with one message are actually crystallized as we engage, internationally, because we need business, we need your NGOs, we need government to ensure that the UK people in totality appreciate the strength of our COVID-19.
Now, Deputy Minister, I hear the figures that you are quoting in terms of our rates, but there is also the trouble that our test positivity rate has been on double digits. Does this feature in your conversations with the United Kingdom? Because it's one thing to have the number of people who are testing positive in a day, but the WHO has come out to say that at best it's desirable that you are probably at a 5% or less test positivity rate.
Look, our conversation is there. Remember, the most important issue, Mr. Nguni, is the issues of transparency as a country.
Yes.
So what we are speaking to about is that, look, we maximize our testing capacity. We have the necessary health infrastructure in place to negate in relation to the upwards movement of the COVID-19. And that's why you can see the number of recovery rates in South Africa, it's unprecedented. you have a quite 94.2% recovery rate. That surpassed multitudes of countries in Europe and in the more industrialized north. 94.2% because of our health and medical type of capabilities. And we have that type of a conversation with everyone at the bilateral and a multilateral level. And I think we are saying that we are up to the task at hand. You know, as we travel, for example, to many countries, you go to Poland, you go to Romania, even as a diplomat, you produce your vaccine certificate, you produce your PCR test that is not less than 48 hours old, and you get accepted. The minister of South Africa, the minister of Derco, Dr. Pandu, as we are speaking, is in New York attending the premier multilateral organization in the form of United Nations. She was accepted there. She has the vaccine certificate. She underwent the PCR test.
Well, Deputy Minister, one can argue that our president was with the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and they were laughing there together at the G7, which was held in Cornwall by the United Kingdom government. We might need to separate ourselves from the elites, because clearly there might be different rules for them. But how much of the questions Deputy Minister raised around the reliability of our vaccine certificates? I know that the president said soon we might be able to launch the online verifiable vaccine certificate. Some people say perhaps this is fueled by the fear that people could forge these pieces of paper. Honestly speaking, though, I mean, the pieces of paper that we get now when we vaccinate, I mean, I could show it to somebody else. I doubt if they would really take it seriously whether or not it has been forged.
No. Look, there is no disclaimer, Mr. Mguni, around our paperwork as it relates to the vaccine certificate. So that is a qualitative instrument that gets accepted when you travel. Like I've said, you know, many people that have traveled elsewhere in the world with the vaccine certificate, with the PCR test, get immediate access. In fact, you raise a very important issue that we are fighting against as a government. The rules that applies to me as a deputy minister must be the same rules that applies to an ordinary South African that wish to travel, for example, to the US, to the UK. There should not be two separate rules in terms of our class orientation. And I think what we will do, Mr. Mungone, is to ensure that we come back after our engagement with the Minister for Africa, the UK Undersecretary of State, Mr. James Dudridge, on the 27th of September, and we come and give a report back to our people in terms of his attitude and his posture in relation to the content issues that we'll actually be discussing.
Now, lastly, before I let you go, Deputy Minister, what do you think accounts for Kenya being removed from the red list and South Africa still being maintained in that list?
Look, I think what we are saying is that, you know, as in Africa, we are generally concerned that, you know, approximately 3% of all Africans has been vaccinated. So we are generally concerned about that. And that's why we're arguing for the equity in terms of vaccine production and distribution. And I think we are happy that Kenya has actually been taken off the red list. And we are arguing also that South Africa must be taken off the same red list for specific and detailed reasons, you know. But at the bilateral level, our relations with Kenya remains, you know, solid, and we don't want to impeach our relations with the UK as it relates to admitting Kenya onto the amber list and keeping South Africa. And that's why I've said, there must be clarity of thought. We will take him into confidence next week, Monday, in terms of our approach with the National Institute of Communicable Diseases in South Africa and other scientific institutions that are working with us to fight this COVID-19 pandemic.
Deputy Minister, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we will definitely follow the developments on this crucial matter.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.